One day. How long to the second coming of Jesus Christ? I'm not going to spend time trying to prove that one day Jesus Christ will come back to the earth again. All I want to do just now is give one or two reminders of the remarkable promises that there are in the New Testament about this. Jesus himself said he would come back to the earth when he was on trial before the Jewish council. He made a clear declaration that he would come again. He said to his disciples, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When he ascended to heaven, angels appeared to the disciples and made them a clear promise about this. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now those words are as plain and clear as anything could be. A child of 8 can understand them. The apostles of the Lord understood this message clearly, and they went everywhere preaching it. Peter declared, "God shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." And the Apostle Paul has these words, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And here's the marvel of it. This very belief in a personal return of the Lord from heaven has been there in the creed of the church for centuries. There's never a Sunday goes by, but these words are said in church somewhere. He ascended unto heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. How is it, I wonder, that so many people go to church, hear these words said, and yet somehow don't latch on to the meaning of them? Very remarkable indeed. Well, now, I want to go on from this. I'm taking the truth of the second coming for granted. A good Christian believes this. Indeed, I think I'd go so far as to say that if a man does not believe in the personal return of Christ to the earth, he hardly deserves to call himself a Christian at all. What I want to consider now for a few minutes is, what indications are there as to when Jesus will come again? Of course, sincere believers, anxious to see these things happen in their own time, have often made mistakes and have anticipated the Lord's return in periods when nothing of the kind has actually transpired. It is possible to make mistakes of this sort. Yet I want to show you, just very briefly, that there are signs given in the Bible which all seem to focus on our time. It can't be very long before the actual return of the Lord takes place. 10 signs I want to mention. 10 of them, and I don't suppose these are all either. The first, and indeed if there were no other than this, this would be sufficient. One Bible prophecy after another connects the second coming of the Lord with the return of Jews to the land of their fathers, the re-establishment of the state of Israel. Now this is all the more marvelous when you think that for something like 1800 years or more, Jews were foreigners to their own land, scattered all over the face of the earth, and yet not having a land of their own. But in this century, they have gone back to the land, 3 million Jews in Palestine, and since 1948, a state of Israel in existence. I have on my bookshelves a first edition of a book on Bible prophecy written well over 100 years ago, which points out that according to the Bible, men may look for the return of Jews to Palestine before the coming of the Lord. Quite a bit of detail about it, and this has transpired precisely as the Bible says. Now I say, if there were no other sign than this, the sheer unusualness of it, and the way in which it has happened, should set us thinking. Isn't this in itself a sign that we are getting near to the days when God is going to intervene in world affairs by sending his Son back to the earth? And along with this sign about the state of Israel, there are also quite a few prophecies emphasizing the rise of Arab power. Imagine it, Arabs dominating world affairs. It seems almost impossible. At least it must have seemed like that 100 years ago, when the Arabs were about the most backward peoples on the face of the earth, wandering tribes in the desert with camels and goats and plenty of wives and plenty of children, but no wealth, no civilization, no influence in the world. And yet today, everyone has to take care to keep friends with the Arabs, simply because their territory is floating on an ocean of oil, and so they have a stranglehold on modern civilization. The hostility between Jews and Arabs is mentioned by one prophet after another. It's in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Obadiah. In a whole host of places, these things are mentioned. And the outcome of this hostility is going to mean terrific events in the Middle East, which will certainly culminate in the second coming of Christ. Now, that book I mentioned just now, written actually 130 years ago, also has some remarkable anticipations about the power of Russia in the last days. As a superpower that will overshadow Middle East affairs and eventually invade the Middle East and create a tremendous crisis for the nations there. Well, again, at the time that book was written, such possibilities seemed to be just about as remote as anything could be imagined. And yet now, it could happen just any time. Indeed, it could. A further sign, one which 40 or 50 years ago, it was very difficult indeed to make any sense of. But then all at once, after that sensational development at the end of World War II, with the use of the bomb on Japanese cities, all at once, I say, Bible passages that we hadn't understood came to life. We began to understand what they were talking about. There are indications in Scripture that in the last days there will be terrific destruction. And it seems as though only the use of nuclear weapons can answer to these expectations that there are in the prophets. Isaiah has words like this: the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And Jeremiah says, the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. And the Apostle Peter has a vivid passage in which he describes the elements melting with fervent heat, the earth and the works that are therein being burned up. Well, how can these things happen except by the use of these terrific weapons which the backroom boys have developed in all the leading nations of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ himself made a very clear prophecy concerning the time of his coming, in which he said that there would be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Now, is it necessary for me to emphasize that today an enormous proportion of the Earth's population is living below the breadline, that there's an immense amount of starvation amongst the overpopulated nations of the world, and although so far World Health Authorities have managed to hold down pestilences within manageable proportions, it would only need a breakdown of these resources, which could come very quickly and easily, and the world would face the horrors of pestilence in many places. Earthquakes have happened in recent years to a quite remarkable extent. I know some people who've actually kept a record of the number of major earthquakes that have happened, and they are appalled at the way these things are multiplying, far more in number than they have been in earlier years. Again, going in a different direction, consider the complete failure of Christianity in modern times. The churches have lost their influence. Back in Victorian days, people talked quite blithely and optimistically about the days when, through the spread of civilization, and also with that, the growing influence of the missionaries, it would be possible to take Christianity to every corner of the world, so that it was, as they thought, only a matter of time before a kingdom of God had been established in this world, everyone coming under the influence of the Christian message. Consider now what the situation is today instead. The major nations of the world, godless, anti-God. The thriving religion in the world is not Christianity, no, but the Muslim religion. And indeed, the Christian churches seem to have their backs to the wall. Now, this was anticipated also in the New Testament. And so also, the spread of vice and violence. In spite of those optimistic expectations of the Victorians, Bible students in those days used to say, and used to make themselves unpopular by saying it, that instead of things getting better and better, they would assuredly get worse and worse. And now you've only to open a newspaper, switch on a radio or a television set, and you're constantly getting further assurance that the Bible expectations are coming to pass. The New Testament also speaks of a time when society would become utterly dedicated to the pursuit of materialism, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, concentrating on the good things of life, eating and drinking, buying and selling, marrying and giving in marriage, and so on. And our generation, our present period, is utterly and completely dedicated to these very things. Do I need to underline that fact? Well, here again is another of the signs. Consider any one of these signs separately, and it's rather impressive that the Bible, the writing of which was concluded in the first century after Christ, should be so correct, so marvelously accurate in its anticipations of an era that came long time later. But when you consider that all these signs seem to concentrate on the very period that we're living in today, then what conclusion can you come to? And when these signs are, every one of them, in some way or another, associated with the promises of the second coming of Christ, well, surely we ought to be sensible and realize that the Bible knows what it's talking about and is here giving us God's warnings to be ready, spiritually ready, mark you, against the day of the Lord's return. For if God gives us the various blessings that He abundantly showers on us, then ought we not also to realize that we are accountable to Him? If He gives us our life and breath and all things, as the Bible says, then we ought to serve Him in truth and righteousness. So, preparation for the day of reckoning when Christ comes again should be an important consideration, the important consideration in the minds of us all.